The Bible says of itself that it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we found out that all Scripture is inspired of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished to all good work. And we're told as believers to study the Word of God, that we might not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, we're going to be studying together over the next several weeks the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And it's an incredible book. It has tentacles that run all the way through the Word of God. So a good knowledge of Genesis will give us a great knowledge of the rest of the Word, if we can get it down in our thinking. And we're going to teach it, I promise you, line by line, verse by verse, word by word, we're going to go through it. Jehovah is the true and living God. Now, if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to plug right back in there again, and we're going to spend one more session on this passage. And then next week, we're going to head on into the book. So kind of hang in there with me. And I want to read that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We read, "In the beginning," Hebrew Bereshith, "God," Elohim, "created," the Hebrew word Bara, we're going to learn something about that, "the heavens and the earth." Now we focused in on that name God, that name Elohim, which really is translated gods, plural, gods. In the beginning, so it literally says, in the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. But then we jumped over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, and there we find these words down here, the Lord God. This is the way Jehovah is found in the Bible. When you read your Bible and you come across that name right there. Now the difference is there's all caps. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now when you see that word, you're talking about Jehovah. You're talking about this name right up here. So when you see the word in whatever translation that you have, Lord, all caps, what you're looking at is Jehovah. Now, you see the word Lord with the little L, or this the capital L-O-R-D, capital G-O-D, that could be talking about Elohim, or it could be talking about Adonai. Now, but listen, keep in mind always, we do not worship three gods. We worship one God who manifests himself to us in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God. Catch that. One God, three persons in the Trinity. Now that's going to become important in our study tonight, but I want you to realize, I want you to get this down in your thinking, that in Scripture, when you come across that word Lord, now always when you come across it as you read it, ask yourself, is it all caps? Ask yourself that. And if it's all caps, it's talking about this guy up here, this God. And if you read it in all caps, it God, it's talking about this God. And then last week, what we discovered is that word Lord right there really is speaking of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing truth. That's a life-changing truth. Back in Zechariah, and we found out they shall look upon Jehovah whom they have pierced. Now, who did they pierce? Jesus, right? And we found out that Jehovah left the Mount of Olives, and then one day he promised to come back. to the Mount of Olives, to the very same place. And we read that Zechariah 14 passage that said his feet will stand that day on the Mount of Olives. Jehovah has feet? Hold it. Jehovah has feet? Yes. And his feet will stand that day on the Mount of Olives. But who are we speaking of? We're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. We're leaving Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now we're going to focus in one more time as introduction, and we're going to look at that word God, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're asking ourselves, who is God? Who is the God that created the heavens and the earth? Now, before we look at the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, I want to have prayer with you. Every significant thing I have ever taught in Scripture has been taught by means of God the Holy Spirit. We need to begin to learn the character of the Holy Spirit from Scripture. Like I said, not one God, three persons. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. And we're going to see that tonight. But it's God the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Scripture. I can't do it. Does that shock you? I can't teach you. But He can. And He can cause the Word to jump alive to us. Here's what you need to be saying when you're studying the Scripture. You need to be saying, I see that. I see that. It makes sense to me. Now what you're saying is, I not only see it with my human eyes, I see it with the eyes of my heart. I really see what's in there. That's what changes your life. That's what brings that wow in your thinking as you're studying it. That's what gets you excited. There it is. It's there. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father, it's in the quietness of our mind and in the stillness of this moment that we bow before You. Father, You are such an incredible God. You amaze us with Your character revealed in creation, revealed in Your Word, and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have made Yourself known to us, human beings. You have made Yourself knowable to us. We can know You, and we can also know You personally. So, Father, help us to see that tonight. And as we study Your Word together, I pray that God the Holy Spirit would be pleased to use the Word to ultimately conform us to the image of God's Son. That it would take us in our mind's eye to places that we've never been. And that it would expose a God who is absolutely incomprehensible. He just overwhelms us in His character. And help us to see it, Father. Help us to see it tonight from Your Word. And Father, would You be pleased to use Your Word to change our life, to transform us. Because once we see it, and once we take it in, we will never, ever be the same anymore. Can't be. And thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going back to Exodus chapter 3. Just kind of introduce this thing. Verse 13. And remember, Moses is being commissioned by God to go back to Egypt to help free the Jews from Egyptian bondage. And God is setting him apart through this bush that is burning and not being consumed. God tells him what He wants Moses to do. And then in verse 13, down kind of at the end of the passage, there's this question. What is His name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now keep that in mind. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So what is his name? I am. That's this word right here. That simply means I exist. It is a being verb. A being verb. It means I exist. Now the implication is I've always existed. Now this will blow your mind, Bill. I've always existed. There never was a time I didn't exist. That'll keep you awake at night, amen? Think about that. An eternal God, a God that Psalm 92 says is from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. He was always here. So we ask the question, why is there something rather than nothing? Where did this universe come from? Where did the world come from? Where did the stars come from? Why is there something rather than nothing? It came from this eternal God. Because He was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's hard to take in an everlasting being. One who had no creation. He didn't have a beginning. That'll keep you awake at night, will it not? And He will never have an end. He was here before anything. He was here before this universe. He was here before this world. And He is the one who fulfilled that passage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. Now we're going to look at that a little bit deeper tonight, but I want to discover a little bit more of who He is. Now look at verse 15. This is all review. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Now listen to this next line. This is my name, how long? Forever. It's never going to change. That's God's name. I am is His name. Now here's the point. His name is not Allah. That's the difference. His name is not Allah. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Hare Krishna. His name is not Vishnu. His name is not Brahman. His name is not Baal. His name is not Zeus or Aphrodite. His name is I Am. That is His name forever. So when someone asks you, who is your God? You say, I am. That's my God. My God is not Allah. My God is not Buddha. My God is not Baal. My God is I Am. And you might want to say it like this, my God is Jehovah. Or you might want to say, my God is Yahweh. Because all we've done is added these vowel pointings right here to make it either Yahweh or Jehovah. This is the Latin form of this word right here, J-H-V-H. And this is the Hebrew form. And this is the way it's found in the Hebrew Bible, just like this. But it's without these vowel pointings right here. It's without those. I can't get them to move, but it's without those. That's the way it looks in the Hebrew Bible. That's why they couldn't pronounce. How do you pronounce that? You can't, can you? And they couldn't either. When they came across that, they couldn't pronounce it. It was so holy, so incomprehensible. And remember we talked about it was so holy to them, they had to go take a bath and change clothes before they wrote it down. They didn't have to do that with Adonai. They just changed pens with Adonai. They changed pens with Elohim. But when they came to this name, this is a mysterious name to the Jews. He was awesome to them. Like I said, incomprehensible. Holy. He was holy. What does that say about Jesus Christ? Because we're going to find out that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. And what this means to us, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who created the heavens and the earth. Think about that in your mind just a little bit. Let it kind of mull over in your thinking. So what we're really saying is, in the beginning, the second person of the Trinity, Jehovah, created the heavens and the earth. I love that. Let me tell you something. The worth of the cross is based on the identity of the one who died there. Would you agree? If Jesus was just a man, if he was just a carpenter, a great teacher, and he was all the above, if he was a reformer, that's all good. But his death had no meaning for us unless he was the God-man, the God who took on flesh. Now, it was his flesh who died. He is the God-man. Now, you need to remember that. Now, this last thing says, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. That is Jehovah. Now, I want you to turn to John 8. This teaching, I believe, will light you up. It's exciting. And we're going to find out who I am is. Now, we're in John 8, if you've made that trip with me. John chapter 8. Now, in John chapter 8, there's a discussion going on between Jesus and the Pharisees. That always happened. The Pharisees were really evil people. Now, they were thought to be very religious, very good. They gave money. They did a lot of wonderful things. And the people revered them. But they were, in truth, evil people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And they were always trying to ensnare Jesus Christ. And there came up this rumor about him that would just going through all of the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes about his supernatural birth, being born of a virgin. Now, they knew that was impossible. Now, I want us to pick up this. Watch this. They knew that this was impossible. Look in verse 39. We're reading in John 8, 39. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you've got the great teacher living inside of you. He's called God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He will bring you into all truth. He will teach you all things. And He will. He will cause the Bible to be known by you if you will study it. Now, I didn't just say read it. Read it is good, but begin to study it. Begin to get down into the depths of it. And ask God, what is it saying? What is it teaching? I want to know it. Lord, would you teach me? And you know what? He will. He will teach you. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But look in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. And then I look in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not of fornication. You see that word? That means the virgin birth was going around. The rumor of the virgin birth was going around. We were not born of fornication like you. You don't even know who your daddy is. They were saying, our father is Abraham. Who is your father? That's what they were saying. Just like that. Who is your father? We have but one father. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word.
You are of your father, the devil. Ouch! Ouch! And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And I love this 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? Now, wait a minute. How many of you would say that to your enemies? Smile if you would say that to your enemies. Which of you convicts me of sin? Folks, I wouldn't even say it to my friends, would you? Woo! They'd find a lot of things wrong with Dick Hill. But that's an amazing statement, because none of them could convict him of evil. Now, I want you to flip over from there. Let's look at verse 56 to cut to the chase. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Look up here just one more time. Every word matters in Scripture. There's not one wasted word. There's not one wasted noun, adjective, adverb, participle, infinitive. They're all there by God's design. Now, I admit it's a book, but we're to study it. Now, watch this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, catch the thoughts of the Pharisees. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, circle that word was. That means, it's the Greek word genomai, and it means to be born the old-fashioned way, having a mother and a father, and the passing of seed. To be born the old-fashioned way, genomai. Before Abraham, genomai, was, and then he said, what? I am. Isn't that great? Whoa, hold it. Now that's what I call a glimpse of grace. See, that took us all the way back to Exodus 3:14. I am. I exist. The implication is I've always existed. There never was a time I did not exist. That's the second person of the Trinity. Remember, we worship one God, three persons. Three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. One God, three persons. And I'm going to say that again. Co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent. They're all the same. But their persons are different. They have different personalities. They have different persons. But they have the same essence. They have the same essence. Now, we're going to see that in just a moment. Now, the Jews caught it. They caught what he was saying. Lest you think that he wasn't saying what you think he was saying. Look in verse 59. Then they, the Jews, took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, here's the deal. They got it. They knew what he was saying. They knew that he was claiming to be God. Okay? Now go over to John chapter 10. Let's go to verse 24. We're in John chapter 10, and we're in verse 24. Now watch this. Follow it closely. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, now they're trying to entrap him again. They're trying to ensnare him. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. Be crystal clear is what they were saying. Be crystal clear. Are you the one? And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He showed power over nature, angels, disease, demons, and death itself. Miracle after miracle proved him to be the Son of the living God. No doubt about it. And then he says in verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice." Now, I've often wondered about that. How do they hear his voice? I like to think of it like this. What they hear is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's his voice. "My sheep hear my voice, and they come to me, and I know them," rather. "I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Boy, I love this. "They shall never perish. They'll come to me. I will not cast them out. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Here's what he's saying. Jesus Christ holds us in his hand. How secure is that? Is that not? He holds us in his hand. Not only that, but outside of that hand comes the Father's hand. We're held by a double grip. Amen? We're held by a double grip. "And you will no not ever perish. I will never ever let you go." Eternal security is not a matter of us holding on to God. Boy, isn't that good? How many times would you be lost if that were the case? A whole lot of times. But our eternal security is based on the fact that God holds on to us. And he will not let us go. God the Son, God the Father. And then he makes this incredible statement. I want you to see it. He said, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." And I'm thinking, wow. Wow. Take this by faith. I've pastored a lot of small country churches throughout Mississippi. You say, "Oh, poor guy, you never had a big church, you never had a large congregation, poor guy." I tell you what I did. They always gave me an office. Now, it wasn't a plush office. It was way back in the back part of the hallway, way back, I called it the dungeon, way back there, a little room made up. Liddell, you're laughing only now. You've been there, haven't you? Way back there, lights are poor, but it's private. I'm there alone, and it's just me and the Word of God, and I'm studying. And God is revealing things to me in there that excites me beyond anything you can imagine. And I'm back there, and I'm looking at this, and I see this phrase, "I and my Father are one," and I say, wow! Is that saying what I think it's saying? And then I have to get up. I'm by myself. People might think I'm a little paranoid schizophrenic. I get up and I start walking out in the hall. And I'm just going, wow! Wow! Did I just see that? That's what I call a glimpse of grace. Now here's what it really means. I and my Father are one. What it means is, remember, we worship one God, but three persons. But all of those three persons are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. That is, what is true of God the Father, his character, that is, if God the Father is sovereign, eternal life, if he's love, if he's absolutely righteous and just, if he's all-knowing, everywhere present, all-powerful, and he never changes, if that's God the Father, then it's also true of God the Son. If God the Son then is sovereign, eternal life, love, absolute righteousness and justice, he's all-knowing, everywhere present, all-powerful, and he never changes. Well, what about the Spirit? Well, you get it. You get it, don't you? They're all three the same essence, the same characteristics. Three persons. They're not the same in person, but they're the same in character. They're the same in essence. They're called attributes. That's why we say we worship one God. The same in attributes.
Now that just absolutely blows me away. And that is absolutely some of the best truth on the planet. Now look in verse 31. The Jews get it. They get it. Then the Jews took up stones and began to stone him. They understood what he was saying. Right? He's claiming to be God. Now watch. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." And again I go, well, another trip out in the hall. Another trip out in the hall. I'm going back and forth. I'm going, wow. I'm seeing some things that are so awesome. And I know man didn't put it there. I'm coming in contact with the living God, the one who created this universe. I'm coming in contact with Him like I've never done before. Keep going right. I'm going to meet you in John 14. John 14, very familiar passage. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." A very familiar passage. "In my Father's house are many mansions." I love the word mansions. I've heard dwelling places. I've heard rooms. But I love the mansions because if I didn't use it, I had to change my song. I've got a mansion over the hilltop and I don't want to change my song. Okay? "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's talking about what we call the rapture. That's talking about what we call the catching up of the saints. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." The way you know. The way you know. And Thomas, you know, he caught that. And he said, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now that's one of his great I ams. He has seven I ams mentioned in the scripture. This is one of them. He has the one that says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the way, the truth, and the life." Seven of them. That's amazing, isn't it? And every one of them reveal to us a different characteristic of Jesus Christ. And it's just an amazing, amazing truth. So he says, let's keep going. In verse 7, "If you had known me, you would also know my Father also." Now, Philip picked up on that. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." What? Hold it. What? Have seen him? Have seen the Father? Philip said to him, "Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I," circle that, "have I been so long with you and you have not known me?" Circle that. Philip. Now look at this. "He who has seen me has seen the," what does it say? Father. Isn't that amazing? To see Jesus Christ is to see the Father. Someone, little girl said that Jesus is God with skin on. I love that term. He's God with skin on. "He has seen me, has seen the Father." And then again, we see that the Jews didn't appreciate that a whole lot. But let's go to Hebrews just quickly, because I want to finish this by showing you from the Word that it was truly God the Son who created the heavens and the earth. You say, how is that possible? I have no clue. God says that. It was God the Son that created the heavens and the earth. Now watch this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I love the turning of the pages. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things." Now watch this. "Through whom He made the worlds." That word worlds is universe.
Remember, we're going to see later on that it was God the Son who spoke the universe into being. The one who said, "Let there be light," was none other than the second person of the Trinity speaking the world into existence. Now, let me just stop here and pause and give you a little basic information. They tell us now, the astronomers and those who work in that field tell us, there are literally billions of galaxies outside of our Milky Way. There are trillions and trillions of stars. But I often love this. Of all those billions of galaxies and all those stars, if we go back to Psalm 147, chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, God knows the exact number of the stars. Is he big or what? And then not only that, but he calls them all by name. Is he big or what? And I told you last week, God resides outside of his universe. He doesn't reside in it. He's outside of his creation. He's not pantheistic. He's not in stuff. He's on the outside, and he's created all of this. But he's seeing it from the outside. Now, let's flip. We're going to go quickly. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Now, remember, we're talking about God who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God the Son. In the beginning, the second person of the Trinity created the heavens and the earth. Now, watch this. We're reading in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear, of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's obvious here we're talking about God the Son. We're talking about Jesus. Now, look in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Here's the one who makes God known to us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now zero in on verse 16, one of your memory verses in Vacation Bible School not long ago, one of your memory verses in Bible drills. For by him, that's Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, that's kings, or dominions, or principalities, spiritual entities, and powers, angels, all things were created through him. He's the agent of creation, and for him, he's the recipient of creation. He's the agent and the recipient. But all things were created by him and through him. Does that mean Adam was created by him? Yeah. That's amazing to think about. We'll get there in just a moment. I'm going to go quickly. Here we go. And he says, finishing that up, and by him all things consist. That word consist in the Greek means to hold together. Now, I'm not real good at various science projects, but I do know what an atom is, and I understand the atom and that little universe spinning around, and the protons, the electrons, the neutrons, and how they are so built that they hold themselves together. That's always amazed me. Why don't they just fly out into space? But they're held together. Those atoms are held together with a powerful force. Guess who's holding them together? The Lord Jesus. He's holding all those atoms together. And the most powerful explosion known to man is called an atomic explosion, when they actually split the atom. And one day God, the Lord Jesus, is going to take his hand off of that, and this universe is going to be gone. Now that's some incredible information. He holds it together. He created it, and he holds it together. We're coming down kind of close now to the end. Now let's look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, our last passage we'll look at tonight. We read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now that's the word logos. Think about it a moment. What is a word? What does a word do?
Now, we have a lot of invisible thoughts in our mind, do we not? Do we not? In fact, if I had the ability to put all of your invisible thoughts that you've thought since you've been in this room up on the board so everyone could see them, we would clear this building in record time. Do you agree? Yeah. We have those invisible thoughts in our thinking. Now, here's where we're going with this, and I want you to see it. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what is a word? A word, Scripture says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians, what knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that's in him? And I'm glad our thoughts are private. Boy, am I glad. But we can make our thoughts known. How do we do that? We use speech, a word. We speak a word, or we sing a song. And we can make those invisible thoughts knowable. Well, what he's actually saying here is that the Lord Jesus Christ makes an invisible God knowable. Where we can see Him and we can touch Him. He makes that invisible God know Him. That's the first reason they called Him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the same, He was in the beginning with God. Now, in the Old Testament, this is what I want you to see from this. Every time we see the Word of God being mentioned, the Word is speaking in the Old Testament. You read Adam, where are you? Remember that situation? It was the Word who called Adam. Adam, where are you? Noah, we see that in there. We see, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing this word being used right here. The Lord said to Adam. The Lord said to Noah. That's Jesus as the Word. That's the Logos as the Word in the Old Testament. And we find Him all through the Old Testament. We find the Word calling Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We find the Word calling the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And we find the Word speaking to Hosea all the way through Malachi. We find the Word speaking. That's speaking of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus. He is the Word in the Old Testament. When you read His words in the Old Testament, it's Him speaking. Is that not amazing? Have you learned something? That gets me exciting. And that's what makes this so powerful. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now look in verse 3. All things were made through Him. Remember, He's the one that said, let there be light. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Boy, I love that. Now, so we have the Word working in the Old Testament. Now you remember this. As you study through the Old Testament, and you see the calling, like of all of these great men, the calling of Abraham, the calling of Isaac, and you said, and the Word said this through Noah, and the Word said this, and the Word said that. It's speaking of the second person of the Trinity. Because it's always this Word right here, this name that's calling them right here. That's Him. Is that not amazing stuff? That gets me so excited. I can't stand it. And here's the biggie. Look down in verse 14. And the Word became what? Wow! That is a glimpse. The Word became flesh. Where did He become flesh? Bethlehem of Judea. He took upon Himself of a body. That's when God the Holy Spirit etched that tiny embryo to the womb of the Virgin Mary. I love that. Two of my favorite activities in the Word of God is the incarnation, that's what that means, when God touched human flesh, right there, that little embryo. The other one is the resurrection. two of my best. When God took on flesh. Now here's the reason that he had to do it. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And God determined that he was going to pay our sin debt. But God as God couldn't pay it because he's eternal life and eternal life can't die. So God took on flesh in order to become the Lamb of God to take on our sin. That's why he took upon himself a body. Now, as a body, with a body, he could go to the cross, he could die, he could be buried, he could rise again for the third day. That's why it all happened. That's amazing, isn't it? If you put that together, it will change your life. You'll never be the same because you'll realize there is the living God. And you'll realize we're not playing church. This is real. It's really happening. And it's phenomenal. I'm going to close right here. Paul said this, Philippians 2:5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was fashioned in the likeness of a man. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself to the cross. He died on the cross. He humbled himself to the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Kurios, God. That's what it means. Wow. Pray with me. Father, thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how powerful it is. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the fact that the one who hung on the cross for us, the one who died for us, is none other than Jehovah God. That amazes us. Father, I thank you for the fact that salvation has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can receive the benefits of that precious work by trusting in him by faith alone. Father, when we trust him, he transfers his righteousness to us, and we give him our sin. What a swap. Thank you for our wonderful God. Thank you for the wonderful word. And thank you for Genesis. As we get into it, Father, next week, as we find out what it means that the earth became tohu wa bohu, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, bring us back to hear that. Bring us back to learn some things about Satan, the Satan, and devil, the devil, and who he is. It's worth the trip, Father. Impress that upon us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.